Welcome back to Money Life, where it is time for the big interview on the October 14th show. I'm joined right now by Warren Pearson, Co-Chief Investment Officer at the Baird Funds. If you want to learn more, BairdFunds.com will do it for you. They're on Twitter at RW Baird. Warren Pearson, it's great to have you back on Money Life.
Chuck, great to be back with you. A fascinating time for a bond manager to be talking to you.
Absolutely. And we're going to dive into it in just a second. First, I need to remind everybody that guests on Money Life appear on the Gainbridge Hotline. Gainbridge believes that deferred fixed annuities are a steady, guaranteed way to grow savings. Its innovative self-managed digital platform provides direct access to trusted annuity products without complexity or hidden fees. Learn more at gainbridge.life. Warren, on Thursday, CPI numbers came out. They are kind of what the Fed was hoping for. As a bond fund manager, are you going, now we have some sense of what might happen next? Or just because one number's there, we got no sense of what's going on still?
Well, I think, you know, we frame up 2022, Chuck, by saying it's all about inflation and what the Fed is doing for it. You know, I think the Fed would have liked to see those inflation numbers start to roll over. Thursday's CPI number came in a little higher than expected on a year-over-year basis, up 8.2%. Last month it was 8.3, so at the margin falling a little bit. But I think, you know, at some point in time we would expect those inflation numbers to roll over, but they've been surprisingly sticky and are not willing to do that. And that's been, I think, at much of the consternation of the Fed.
At Baird Funds, you guys are bond specialists. Well, there's some yield to be had, but it's still yield that is falling behind inflation. So how have investors been treating this? Because bonds are supposed to be the safe haven. The stock market certainly is making people uncomfortable, but you don't think of bonds as safe haven, and yet I've got a negative real return because I'm losing ground to inflation.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's been a really tough year for the bond market, pretty much the toughest year ever. I mean, full market indices are down on the order of 15%. And I think investors have been maybe overly fixated on that, and understandably so. I mean, people are not used to seeing negative returns. I think all investors knew when rates were artificially low, the Fed's quantitative easing, you know, back a year plus, at some point in time, rates are going to rise. I think they're a little bit shocked. We are surprised, too, that it's all coming in such a short period of time. I think, though, when investors eventually get over the shock of the negative returns, what investors haven't fully appreciated is just how much yields have risen and how attractive those yields are. You're right that looking at CPI running at it, you know, year-over-year pace of 8%, yields in the 4%+ still are negative, but we do think that CPI and PPI are going to be falling over as we get in the coming quarters. And we see these yields as pretty attractive to investors, especially when you consider what the alternative asset classes are offering. Expectations in the stock market for maybe single digits going forward, coming from 1% or less yields to now 4% or plus, we think those represent pretty good value. Investors don't have to take a lot of risk. They don't have to go way out the yield curve, nor do they have to go way down in quality to take advantage of them.
You talk about single-digit returns for the equity markets. Is that protracted? Like, as you look out over the next decade, you think we're going to wind up there? Or is that what you're hoping for if we can somehow manage to avoid a recession in the next 12 months?
Yeah, and I want to be clear, I'm a bond manager, so those are not my forecasts. I'm borrowing that from people like Ray Dalio or Jason Trenert that have said, you know, challenging period for the equity market over the next several years. A couple of them have said, you know, expect maybe single-digit returns. So that's where I'm getting those. That's not necessarily our forecast. But, you know, I think one of the favorite girlfriends of everybody in recent year was Tina. There is no alternative, meaning that interest rates were so low, there's no alternative to stocks. You know, we've dumped Tina, and now we think Patty is a little bit more what investors are looking for, and that's pay attention to the yield. Clearly, yields have risen significantly to the point where we think investors will take more notice of them, and there's great value for investors there.
Even if the yield is going up, if rates are getting higher, getting from here to there in a bond fund is a bumpy ride. It is, at least if you're looking at your statements, right? Because interest rates rise, bond prices fall, and although that eventually comes out in the wash and it's all okay, it's not comfortable watching your net asset values and what have you as that's going on.
No.
So does that change your time horizons?
Not really. I mean, and you're absolutely right. And we're not trying to make little of the negative returns that investors have experienced. And we experience it. You know, we own our own funds. I've got a lot in our funds, and that's been painful, just the market returns. But, you know, the bond math, when interest rates rise, bond prices fall, and that puts yields up as well. you know, when stocks fall, it makes stocks cheaper and maybe they're more attractive, maybe or maybe not. But when bonds fall, bond prices fall, yields go up. And mathematically, that yield is much more powerful on a go-forward basis. And we think there's some real value for investors in those higher yields that we're seeing now.
Higher yields is not necessarily high yield when it comes to bonds.
Right.
What sectors? Because I have to imagine that if you're going to say, I want a better yield, and I'm going to tolerate the fact that I'm losing ground to inflation, I would imagine you want to go towards safety. And you have that other side here, which is, you know, junk bonds haven't exactly been junky, but there's a lot more potential for there to be defaults and everything else in a rising rate environment where people can't repay their debt, right?
Thank you for making the distinction. And yes, we are talking higher yields, not the high yield sector. We really think investors should focus more on the investment grade side, quality. In my earlier comment, interest rates have risen. That's been the key story for 2022. Yield spreads on investment grade credit and other sectors has risen. Yield spreads have come up on high yield as well, but really not all that much. The increase in spreads isn't indicative of some sort of collapse in the market. You know, corporate credit fundamentals are very strong. So again, we see pretty good value in the intermediate maturities and, you know, staying higher quality. Investors don't have to drift down into the high yield space. And indeed, with a, you know, coming slowdown with the inverted yield curve, the tightening of the Fed, we think the odds of a recession have risen. We don't think it's going to be a really difficult recession, but nonetheless, it could be a challenge for weaker companies. So we would advise investors to stay higher on the quality and take advantage of the gift, if you will, of these increased yields.
What about international markets and international bonds? If somebody's looking to go for yield, do you look in that direction at all? Or, you know, their central bankers are dealing with everything that you've got with the Fed, plus are a little closer in some cases to war and other problems?
Great question. And, you know, we've said, as I mentioned, that the main theme in the bond market is the rise in treasury yields here. And I've said that nothing's been broken so far. Nothing's broken yet, I'd put it that way. There are maybe some cracks appearing. We think that if those cracks expand and things do break, there's a higher probability that they break in Europe first. They've obviously got much stronger challenges, just energy prices. You know, Europeans are paying 7 to 10 times for natural gas what Americans are paying. Their electricity bills are up tenfold. So there's some real challenges there with the war in Ukraine causing you know, most of those imbalances and problems. So there's a lot more stress in Europe, and we do think, you know, straying away to different parts for U.S. investors to look abroad, you can do that and find more yield. But again, we would encourage people to stay at home, stay with safety, and stay up in quality.
I'm going to drop a number on you that I know you have not heard before. I would assume you've not heard before, because I just read it out in a piece by my friend Alan Sloan, who writes for The Washington Post. He was working with some folks who were taking a look at what rising interest rates mean through the U.S. government's payments. The U.S. government, in recently completed fiscal 2022, paid about $400 billion in interest. But of course, that was at rates that hadn't risen. And a projection suggests that the interest total for the next fiscal year is now going to be almost $580 million. That's a 45% increase. Is there a time, if we continue to see rates rise, et cetera, that you start to worry about the ability of the government to wind up to? I mean, that's an enormous jump. It would hurt any of us if we said, hey, I'm carrying some debt, and now the cost on carrying it is 45% higher. Do you worry at all what this does?
It's going to be a challenge. We're not worried about the ultimate creditworthiness of U.S. Treasuries, but you bring up a very good point, and it's in the context of expecting inflation to roll over. We believe the long-term growth potential of our economy is closer to 2%. Coming out of the pandemic collapse in the economy and the rebound, the economy was trying to grow at around 6%. It just couldn't do that, and that's where some of the inflationary concerns come from. But the added debt burden, and that's real. I mean, the average duration of the Treasuries that are outstanding is about 5 years, so it's going to take a little while for the higher interest rates to factor in. But that's going to be an added debt burden on the government, on all of us. And capital that would normally go to more productive uses in terms of growing the economy is going to be used for debt service. So that's going to be a further burden to the economy. And we think one of the reasons why longer term, you're going to see lower nominal growth. And with that, you'll see inflation come off the highs that we're seeing presently.
It'll be interesting to watch how it plays out. If you had to forecast, you know, you and I tend to talk about twice a year. So we will probably not talk again for about 6-7 months. That means we're going to be looking at a new year. We're going to presumably be looking at a recession that is now official, as opposed to just kind of hinted at or believed. But do you believe the worst will be over if we're talking in 6 to 8 months?
It's hard to say whether the worst is going to be over. I mean, the yield curve is also inverted. Yield curve inversions don't tend to not last a really long time. They tend to predict recessions. They're not flawless in that. The timing is going to be much more the real question. As I said before, if we do indeed fall into a recession, we don't think it's going to be a terrible recession. U.S. consumers in pretty good shape. You know, it's not like 08 where people are over-leveraged. Corporate America, corporate credit fundamentals look very strong. And indeed, that's part of the reason we think corporate yield spreads haven't expanded as much. Companies are in very good shape in many regards. So, you know, individuals and companies are not way off sides where they were coming into 2008. Unemployment's extremely low. So if we do get a slowdown, we don't think it's going to be a terrible slowdown. And so, the timing of that, it's hard to say. But we think that it won't be that bad of a recession if indeed we do see it.
Well, Warren, this has been great. I look forward to that conversation down the line. And meanwhile, stay safe. But thanks so much for joining me today on Money Life.
Thanks, Chuck. And look forward to getting back with you maybe 6 or 7 months down the road and see how this is turning out.
Absolutely. That's Warren Pearson. He's the co-chief investment officer at the Baird Funds. Baird, R.W. Baird on Twitter, at R.W. Baird, BairdFunds.com online for more information on the firm and its funds. We've got much more to go because we just hit the halfway pole in today's show. Settle back, relax. Money Life will be right back.